Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Monday morning. It's February 5th already. It's just amazing. We are already in this month, and you don't feel it here. It's like 80 degrees every day lately again. I think we're having another dry winter. But hard to believe, because next week will be already Valentine's Day. I mean, just boom, boom, boom. We're just making it through these holidays like it's nothing. Good for us. But today's topic, you guys, I have to talk about it again. The reason is I'm getting all of a sudden this influx of mail in through my website, which is cool because that means people are coming to the website and we're getting and doing and feeling what we need to be able to, you know, help each other, just, you know, grow ourselves emotionally, because there really isn't a huge emotional world out there or education or even anyone who talks about these things most of the time. So I always feel good when I know, like the kids I teach on Sunday or the things we talk about here, I think, you know, these are the things we need to talk about, because over and above everything else, these are the things that no one talks about and then wonders why they don't feel okay. Well, the one about Christ and seeing Christ was, I realized that I got so used to doing the show and just posting and whatever it is I do, and there's a lot of new people. And in those people, they don't know I saw Christ, or they don't know I've ever written a book, and they'll write me and say, you know, you should write a book. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh. So I'm probably really, really bad at advertising or pushing product or whatever it is, but I thought, I have to talk about this, because in all the mail I got, there were two women just in one day, yesterday, who wrote me about the fact that they've seen Christ and how it's helped them, and they want to tell me about it. And I thought, that's so cool, but more what they wanted was validation that that's who they saw or what they saw, even though one of them said it was as clear as day. And I thought, I have to do another show about why I saw Christ. But now, even with greater experience, with more experience, and not being apologetic, I used to be so apologetic that, oh my God, I saw Christ. Oh, I had to tell the story. Oh, whatever. And something in the last, I don't know, since I got in the car accident in December, makes me feel like I have to, like, push this story. Not only push it, but what I was taught, because what I was taught wasn't for me alone. And everybody who hears the story, I don't care if I told it to a room of 1,000 people or I'm telling it to one person. Every single person that I tell, it affects the same, and then it affects them differently. Because even someone who might question me after I walk out didn't while I was telling them. Even someone who doesn't want to believe me listens while I'm telling them. Because there's something about me telling the story touches us. It touches me every single time I tell it, as though I'm telling it brand new. Every single time. And in April, it'll be 16 years, not one or two days, but 16 years. The whole point of me having seen Christ was everybody else. The whole point of me going through the experiences I've had to, meeting the people I've had to, down to the marriages I've had as a result of having to learn all the different walks of life, not really being recognizable to any one group of people, all of that part of my life was for me to not only have seen what I saw, but speak on it. Because not everybody who has the experience comes with the job of putting out books about it or speaking on it. Sometimes it's to help just a situation in their life. Came with a boatload of, you know, you better do something with this, and we're guiding you, but this is how it goes. And I realized when I saw him that, you know what, this not only changed my life, but anyone who not only hears it, but then they can't get it out of their head. Because once we know a truth, we can't unknow it. You can't say, hey, you know what? I know it's really not a great idea for me if I lie to someone. Not a great idea. When we lie, we don't think it was a good idea. We still think it wasn't a good idea. We may do it because we may feel we have to for some reason in our own minds. But we never think it's a good idea. And we really don't like it if someone doesn't catch us. I know we don't want them to catch it, but we don't like it when they don't catch us. Because we know inside that if we allow other people to let us lie to them, and I'm going to say we allow because we're the ones telling the lie, so we're giving them a forum for them to believe us. So we allow somebody to believe our lie deeper inside. We feel upset about it, not because we lied alone, but because now that we did lie, we don't trust anybody. Because if someone who lies to you and you believe them, they believe that people don't even know when someone else lies, so they don't believe what anybody says. Because they think, well, they could be lying. No one knew I was. So when we do stuff that we know, no one has to tell you that a lie isn't good. I didn't have to see Christ to tell somebody not to lie. We already know inside of us what works, what doesn't, and why. I'm not here to, like, you know, beat down an old horse. But I am here. I am here to feed that horse, to allow that horse to run as well as it can, to take care of it when it's beaten down, to empower it when it needs that power. Might not look like it, but that's what Christ is here for. The bigger thing, one of the biggest things I found out is it's not really that unusual. Everybody's kind of had an experience here or there in their lives where they say, what was that? I just had one I never had the other day. I had one of the most interesting weeks last week that once it spit me out on Saturday, I couldn't believe it. And every time I think, gosh, how could it keep happening? And then I finally said, I was sitting at my desk, and I finally said, you know, God, I think you've repeated this one a bit too much. Like, I'm on overkill right now. I've seen it and seen it and seen it. I'm over it. And the minute I said that, I knew the tides have turned. I knew. I wanted to know that feeling a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 7 years ago, 10 years ago. I wanted to know that feeling 15 years ago. but I never got it. I didn't get it until last week. It took that many lessons to understand how love affects us, and then how something outside of us, like money, affects love. And why and how. At times it's more important to us in our minds because we can't stop the money machine from rolling. There is a cash register that needs to ring on our behalf over and over again. But I also had to learn one very important thing, and that's how it affects and takes away or adds to our lives because of the lack of, I want to say, availability to a lot of people. But the lessons were brutal. And along the way with the lessons, if it weren't for that money, I would not have found the love of people. I would not have stepped out of my comfort zone. But what I realized is that whatever way that God can get to us is through what we love. So through whatever it is you love, whatever it is, whether you want to paint, whether you love your job, whether you love your kids, whether you love where you live, whatever it is you love in life the most is where almost all of your lessons will come through. I love people. Because I love people, every lesson that I got took me to people. Some people love nature, so every lesson they get is out in nature. They go by the ocean, they go walk in the mountains, even though I do that stuff, but it's people that I love first. So if I do go to an ocean, I usually go where there's people. I know a lot of people who go where there's no people. They want to go to the most secluded beach ever. I like to go where there's people. So it would be different how I played it out. But this Saturday morning, I woke up and I thought, oh, no radio show. So I wake up late, which was like 6 o'clock, which would be after the show. And the only reason why I wake up at 6 or so is because I do wake up to do the show. And then I remember, oh, it's Saturday, and I probably sleep an extra half hour. I'm so used to waking up at this time now that it doesn't, you know, it's easier for me to wake up this time than to stay asleep. So I wake up and I thought, oh, let me just write. You know, I keep my laptop close to my bed and I slip it up in my lap and I'm ready to go. And all of a sudden, I see what looked like a snowflake flickering on the side of my eye. And it's like dark. The sun isn't out yet. And I turn around and, like, next to the wall, if I were to reach with my left hand as far as I can, I just saw it flickering. And then it just disappeared. And I haven't seen that like that. I mean, ever like that. I've seen a couple of things happen to people when I was with them. I saw a young lady, you know, all these sightings. And the reason I want to tell you the sightings is so that if it happened to you, know that it happened to you. Most people say, well, you know, I'm not sure, or it happened and they want validation. I wanted validation for a very long time. But another time I was talking to a girl, 28 years old. She's a med student, and she is doing her residency. And she's very, very powerful mentally because she, in just being a med student, and she's, you know, 28 years old, so keep in mind how young she is. She designed, and she has this hybrid brain between medical that we know today, but she understands herbs, and she even started a company that makes herbs that affect the body, and she knows what your body needs by literally touching the bottom of your foot. If you see her, you would never believe she could do this. She probably, if she's lucky, weighs 100 pounds. Tiny person. But I love when I get the opportunity to see her. So I saw her. And she did my foot. And, you know, at first I was like, not really sure what I was going through. But I did it. And I was, you know, at her house and all of that. But, you know, she asks you questions. And then she will tell you by how the bottom of your foot feels why you were even asking those questions. Why that's even important to you. And what's in your body, and what it's an amazing thing she does. And she doesn't do it for a living because she works in a hospital and she doesn't have time. But she's learning that. And one thing I knew about her when we sat down to talk was that her learning medicine wasn't for her to be that kind of doctor all her life, but it gives her credibility to speak on all transitions, all bridges, outside of current medical care, which is, you know, 90% great. There's just that 10% where they're not really sure, you know, different created illnesses or over-medicating and all of that. But, you know, when we need an operation or we need something, somebody can help us. So we have a good medical system. It's not like, you know, people want to bash everything. But I was sitting with her, and we were talking, and while we were sitting, I saw a white form, super, like almost be in front of her and go in her. She felt it. She didn't know what she felt, though. But I physically saw it. So her feeling it and me telling her at the same time told me that when people have experiences where they go, gosh, you know, I really felt this and this happened to me. You don't just feel that for nothing. You did feel something. God isn't far away from us at all. And please don't sit there and say, yeah, but I never had that experience. You probably did. You just don't know. Sometimes it happens in your sleep. But nobody, when Christ said that there's no soul left behind, not even yours, period. We didn't come here to be left in a desert all alone with no clues. There are a lot of clues. And I will bet you that if all of us listening this morning were in a room and I talked to each person, I will know how Christ affected you in your life. And the beauty of this is I'm not pushing Christ. I don't need anything back for you knowing that I saw Christ. That's what I wanted from the beginning. I finally know how to do that. Because the story, going back to how I started this, the story everyone I ever told listened. And then once they got to thinking, they're like, ah, how did she, well, you know, how do you explain this in the Bible? And how do you explain that in this book? And how, and then I start hearing that and I just think, argue with yourself about it, because I'm not going to prove that I saw Christ. You already know inside your heart that I'm telling you something that really happened. Just like we already know when we don't tell the truth, we also know when someone does. And I don't need validation. Not because, oh, wow, I'm so sure of myself. No. I'm so sure of all of us, every single one of us. When Christ said there is no soul more important than another, there is no soul more important than another, not even mine. Who am I? I'm just a woman that loves people. And because I love people the way I do, and probably why I do, is so that there's got to be someone, a few of us on earth, a good handful, to tell people that. Because we need to know there is a greater extension of us than what exists here. We do need to know that, or to be reminded of it, maybe, because I don't think I'm telling anybody anything new. Christ told me in the beginning, I will never tell anyone something they don't already know. I never will. I don't think I have. It might sound like new information to someone hearing it for the first time, but when you really think about your life and all the stuff you've done, you know you've had those moments here and there. I met a commodities broker at a party, and I can't remember the party. I can't remember the purpose of the party, but I met him, and he was married, is married still. And him and his wife, when they first got married, she got pregnant, and the first pregnancy, it was a stillbirth. So she went through the whole pregnancy, felt the baby the whole time. And then probably a day before she had the baby, she didn't feel the baby anymore moving. So she was at lunch with her mother-in-law, and she was telling her they went to the hospital, and they found out the baby was passed. The man, the father, apparently that day was driving home or to work, I can't remember, but he was driving. And when he was driving, he felt something happen to him. And he knew something like that had happened. He didn't know how he knew. But now we're talking a year later, I see him at a party. He doesn't even know about what I've done, or know, or wrote, or whatever. Doesn't even know. And he starts telling me this story about how when he was driving, he felt that child. He felt the child leave. It was almost like the baby checked in and said hello and goodbye. But as I further talked to him, he doesn't go to church. He doesn't really kind of believe in anything. Kind of outgrew what his family taught him. And didn't have any knowledge of, you know, too much of any one thing. Kids go to public school. They're not involved or affiliated to a church or anything. And yet he was describing this experience to me. And he reminded me that God has nothing to do with how we choose to believe in God. And deep inside, we may question the existence because it's not a tangible God. It's just like the lying thing. We feel it. We know there's more to this than this. We know when we sleep, we're not really conscious, but we kind of see a different world. And then we wake up and that different world is shut off. And then we got to do this. But still in all of this, in the big rush, in everything that's going on, we do get those feelings because we are those feelings. It's not about believing in it. I believe in this. I believe in that. It's about knowing. There's a difference. And that's what I know now. I get it now, what Christ kept saying, tell the story and keep going. Don't stop at every port. Just tell the story, because telling the story, people know. I don't need them to tell me whether or not they believe it, because some are going to fight it, right? Fight it because it's hard to believe. It's almost too good to believe that there's a saving grace for all of us. But Christ said, tell the story, and whether or not they get it in 10 minutes or 10 years, that's none of your business. Because that's not my job. My job isn't to cram it down someone's throat. My job is just to tell the story. I don't need to prove it. I have nothing to do with it other than to tell it. Because like a lie, people know the truth. So I've had to have all this time go by of telling this story to people in hospitals, nursing homes, homes, work, over the phone, through appointments, however it is that the story comes to someone. That's all that's left for me to do. And I finally get it. I have been trying to do this. I wanted people to help me along the way so I could do it on my own because I didn't think people would help me blast it or pull it out and go out and tell it. But it just wasn't ready. I wasn't ready. I was in a crock pot for 16 years, cooking on low until the meat fell off the bone so that I would know what the meat was and what the bone was. If there's any example, that's how I felt. I had to go that slow. But there's no way to have gone any faster because it took me 16 years of people's stories and continue to have their stories in my heart to hear people say, this happened to me. I didn't know what it was. Because the importance of knowing the story is it opens up a whole new world in our minds that we're not alone. And that's one of the greatest issues that we have on earth right now is people feeling alone in a crowd. Because no one has a forum to talk about the things they need to talk about, to get off their chest. To say, yep, I did that, and wow, I get why that isn't probably the best thing to do. Something that simple that needs to be said that isn't said tortures lifetimes of people. Tortures lifetimes of people. Because they don't understand that we are here for challenges. And the better we face them, the more we can enjoy our lives. And once we understand that we're here for challenges and we get it and we face them and we do, then we start growing out of the need. That's the, when they call evolution, we evolve. We like just grow out of needing to do those things that way. Once you've lied a couple of times, unless you, you know, have an issue with it or it's a habit or you really are, you know, that scared to be in the truth of yourself. You don't really want to lie all the time because it's hard to remember what you say. And then someone catches you and they get mad and you have to go through all of that. And it's so boring at this point. So now we don't need to do that anymore. So now what? Well, what do we fill that space with? Well, we fill it with things that mean more because we don't want it to mean less. And I only have 60 seconds left. I always have that in my ear, 60 seconds, 10 seconds. But we're going to do a part two of this tomorrow because there's a little bit more to tell that came through me this morning. And there's a reason for even the people who hear, because once you hear it, it starts to accelerate your life. And that acceleration is what we need to talk about tomorrow. So I just wanted to keep you on this loop of Christ right now because it's one of the most non-religious things because religion now reminds me of structure and Christ reminds me of love. So I see the difference now. But I love you guys. We'll talk tomorrow. Have a great Monday. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.